Welcome back to Women Making Moves, where we celebrate the moves that women are making. My name is Amy Pons, founder of Unlock the Magic, coaching, healing, and facilitator of Magic School. I'm joined today with Victoria Carrington Chavez. Victoria is a storytelling powerhouse, award-winning entrepreneur, and TEDx speaker, whose talk has been praised as a masterclass in storytelling. Featured on Telemundo, Fierce by Me Too, and over a dozen podcasts, she brings bold, honest energy to every conversation, on stage, online, and in community. Through her brand, The Story Saloon, she helps creative entrepreneurs and thought leaders own their story, speak it with confidence, and share it in a way that connects. Her approach is unapologetic, empowering, and rooted in the belief that your story is your superpower. Yes, Victoria, welcome.
Thank you so much, Amy. I'm so excited to be here. I love how you were telling me. People are like, have you met Victoria?
So many women in my orbit the past probably month when I am out in the wild networking and meeting amazing new people. And I'll share a little bit about me. And they're like, do you know Victoria Carrington Chavez? I'm like, she's coming on my show. It just makes me laugh. I love that how many women have said that to me recently. So I already feel that we vibe and we're sisters. And so here we are. In the flesh.
Yes, curly hair gang. You know, we've got the cool mics, we've got glasses, the signs, right? And we're probably both going to talk about the woo because I know we're both into the woo.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yes, all the things. And you are someone I'm going to want to hire because I'm feeling into this moment in time where my story, I want to tell it in a way that one is not, I don't want it to be a pity party. And I also don't want it to be creating a villain.
What do you mean by creating a villain? Like,
I grew up in a domestic violence home and I still have a relationship with my family. And it's not about making them the villain, it's just part of my story.
It's really powerful. I mean, essentially, like, the reality is we humans are complex. And this is where stories become this magical thing because stories have the ability to hold the space for that complexity. They have the space to hold the complexity. We are not, I like to tell some of my clients, we're not basic. We are not fit in a box. And the thing is that's beautiful, right? Yeah. For you to have the space of circle healing, right? To say like, And the thing is stories, And that healing, you can kind of hold that cognitive dissonance. That's the psychological term for it, of these two opposing things of like these people that I grew up with. Yeah, they caused some trauma. Yeah, they caused some intense harm. But also, I know that they did the best that they could. Yep. I also have created a sense of peace within myself and peace within that relationship, however that looks like, whether you choose to have that relationship or not.
Right.
And the real thing is this is about making moves. And what you just described is the real power move. When we can make peace with our past, with our story, and we know that it made us who we are, no matter what we're choosing to do with it today, because that's your origin story.
Yeah. And it's exactly how it's unfolded. It's actually the entire story, one, depending on what you subscribe to, it was part of my soul contract of why I came here, to be able to feel that, to be able to create the medicine to where I offer that to the women looking for that from me today. So it's really actually beautiful. And I want your help because I come back and forth because I've talked about it more lately, but it's like trying to share it unabashedly, but also from a place where the first time I tried to share it, I did actually get unfavorable feedback from my family when I tried to talk about it more. And it's so fascinating because it's this goddess moment where my dad beat me, and it's because he only knew that. And he and I have actually had extremely deep conversations about how he beat me and what his lived experience was. It's a wild experience to be able to turn back and have that type of real human conversation. And then also realize as my soul spirit, that's part of my medicine. And it's when we as a soul sign up for certain experiences to experience as a human, it's not like we fully know how that's going to feel yet. And then we experience it and we're like, holy crap. So it's not this toxic positivity vibe where it's like everything happens for you and embrace all the bad. Well, but also feel your feels to the fullest expression. And
absolutely,
when you're ready and have capacity, if you do, explore that a little bit on your soul spirit and consider by any degree when you're ready to see how it expanded you.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't consign to the belief that everything happens for a reason. I think there's some really terrible, horrible, tragic things that happen in this world. I believe that we have free will. I believe that
Absolutely.
people, like their selfishness, ego, those are all things that impact decisions. I mean, and as somebody who, my ancestors, like colonialism, really put my ancestors through it. So I don't believe that everything happens for a reason, but I do believe that the universe, she is an opportunist, and that she can use those painful moments and help turn them into something powerful. She can help us create gold from what feels like those straws that maybe broke us or bent us or bruised us. And that is where I like, there's a quote that I like when it comes to storytelling, and what people say is speak from the scar, not the wound. And when we reach that place of like, this is a scar, this is my tiger stripe, I earned that shit, we can talk from it from that powerful, powerful place. And there's a healing journey. And I think that that's the piece of like, I didn't necessarily, I like to say I story guide people, and there's a healing journey with that. And I like to hold that space and helping people feel those feelings, face those emotions, and sift through it and say, is this for the stage? Is this for me? Is this for a podcast? And you get to decide. You get full autonomy over your story. And a lot of us, especially if we are fem-bodied, and especially if we are from any sort of BIPOC melanin diaspora, sometimes this is the first time we're really tapping in and saying, wait, this is my story. And what I hear from even your story, Amy, is that is the connector, is a lot of us have been silenced. Shame, doubt, our own families, communities, people have silenced us and said, don't share that. What will people think? And you get to a point where when you're healing that on your journey, where I like to help guide people to is the don't give a fuck energy, where you're like, I said what I said, and I said that with my whole chest and my whole ass.
And my whole ass. So funny. I just posted last night, and my clients laugh at me for this because, like, I bring a lot of humor into my coaching and healing as well. And
Laughter is the best medicine.
right. And I'm clairsentient and claircognizant, so I can always read energy with consent from your guides or from your energy field. And I also know where you're trying to go to. So my clients will be like, can you just tell me? I'm like, no. But also, and I can tell by looking at someone that their taint is clenched.
Hey, this is one of the best podcast experiences I've been on.
And
Anyway.
I just posted that on LinkedIn last night. I was like, y'all, whose taints out here are clenched? Like, we can't ascend into something, wherever we're
Please.
trying to go, if your taint is clenched. And so I can tell in your body, why is your taint clenched right now? What makes you feel unsafe? Or what is something that's in your field if you're not sure if you're clenching your taint? Because people are like, how do I know? When you see a dog tuck its tail, imagine that's when you do that. And it's almost like the sensation when you go to pee or poop, you're not clenching. So I
Yeah.
hope everyone is feeling their taint right now.
And that release. I mean, I will be honest, like, in some of this spiritual journey, when you have that release, the release of like you can breathe again, you have the release of where you feel like you can move again, you stand up a little taller, and then you have the release of, the bowels. And then you're like, oh, okay, I have now released some of that stuff that was really blocking me. And as we know, or as we can talk about, the spiritual and the physical are connected. So I'm not surprised that this is part of the conversation, because so much of like being able to share our stories unapologetically or share them boldly really are about release. Like you have to release what is standing in your way. And, in the beginning part, it is kind of you versus you. And then you're like, wait, like, because you reach a point, like maybe when you were a kid, like you didn't feel like you could say stuff. But now, as a grown ass person, you get to decide.
I
And
get to decide.
you get to decide.
Do you know how much power and freedom there is in that? For the first 40 years of my life, I served outside of myself, meaning like anything that anybody outside of me needed, or I was serving outside of myself. And what's so amazing right now in this time and space and the past several years of my life is I'm so in tune with my own internal oneness and energy with the universe that people, places, and things around me, I get to discern if that's my vibe or not. And I also get to discern and choose whether I stay in that moment. And that's where I see a lot of taint clenchers are the ones that force themselves to stay in or around those people, places, and things when the vibes are off.
Yeah. I mean, we have been conditioned. And I say we, 'cause like I feel like a lot of the people that I work with as well, they're healing from people pleasing. They're healing from perfectionism and a lot of that conditioning, right? And there's this book I read a number of years ago that I like to revisit this really helps, called Becoming Your Own Inner Mother. And it speaks to the mother wounds. And what I love is that she basically is saying, even if you had a good mother, because of the patriarchal society that we live in, you got some mother wounds because things are upside down and backwards. And with that, what she says is that women, we have to choose between these two things, and it's to be loved or to be powerful. And a lot of times, we default to being loved, which means that we give up our power to be loved. And healing that, which is one of the methodologies that a storytelling that I use to help heal that, says, nah, you can be both powerful and you can be loved. Unclench, unclench your jaw,
Unclench, mama. Like
unclench.
drop your shoulders. This whole tank clenching thing, I'm so like on a vibe about, and I'm going to be posting so much more about it. It's so human that it gives you a chuckle, and then you're like, wait, am I clenching my
Am I
tank?
clenching?
And when we're in utero, we download into our DNA everything from, you talk about ancestors, everything from not only mom, but grandma, great grandma. And so that's just in us when we get here, and then we build our chakras. Your chakras actually start being formed utero, and it lasts up until like well into teenagehood. But especially as women, we hold in our womb space everything from the lineage. So there was likely a point in time that every single one of us, and I'll speak as a white woman, I hold in my womb space and my lineage women in my ancestry that held power over someone or enslaved or did something, you know, those wounds. And so as we approach Samhain in the next couple weeks,
Yes.
ancestry gets to be not only honoring the cycle of death, but I also like to think that I honor and heal and forgive for what they didn't know better from or didn't have the power or skill set or tools to change.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of stories and their ability to break cycles, we kind of get to, as we're looking at our stories, right? Decide, do I want to rewrite this? Do I want to reclaim this? Or do I want to release this? And that can go for a number of things that get passed down to us. And I think that you bring up this really deep point that you don't always see, right? Is like, we don't have to live the story of our ancestors. And we can also decide, like for me, a lot of times what I like to say is that I'm living my ancestors' wildest dreams, because being on that side, I recently wrote an article. I haven't published it yet. It's a little bit more of that deeper voice of mine that says that when my ancestors were taken, it wasn't just people that were taken. It was scientists and doctors and creatives, and their dreams were taken. And that now I get to not only be their wildest dream, I get to live their wildest dreams. And that, I think, is such a gift. And I love this two sides that we're looking at, because I think that that is a part of any sort of journey, is where do you want to go, but also where have you been?
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't want to keep carrying it, put it down. So I think of it as the most goddess vibes, where I hold the entire spectrum of being enraged that something happened or is happening. And actually, I do subscribe to everything happens for a reason. And it's more of a spiritual element to that, which maybe I digress. I'll talk about later. But and then the other side of the spectrum, which is like, what do I want to create? So honoring where it's been. So like I know, for instance, I live on the land of the Peoria. And when I plant my garden each year, I give offerings to the land, and I honor the people that were actually here. Nobody from Europe found anything. People are already here. Let's not get it twisted. Okay.
No,
So
we were vibing.
like, no. Yeah, they sure did find something, people that were already established and lived here. So it's understanding, and this is where you get to have the sacred rage. Sacred rage, I think people sometimes, again, as women, like we're told not to be that. And I'm like, no, feel your sacred rage to the fullest expression. So then you can get to a place where it's like, what do you want? What do you want to create? And the forgiveness part, the love, the expansion is how we're able to create the new. And I think about this at this exact space and time when we are in the upside down, I have this acute awareness of how much human suffering is unfolding, and I also have this let 'em vibe for it to continue to deconstruct and dismantle so that people like you and me can go and create the new. We can't keep building on the same old systems. And that's not by any means justifying or that I like how it's unfolding. It's just that I'm aware of that spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to build a house on a bad foundation, and
We've been doing that.
it's not working. Eventually that house will fall down.
It's a house of
And
cards.
House of Cards. I heard a speaker once talk about, and it was really powerful, about the difference between shame and guilt. And I think that that is sometimes a place of, like, we need to feel those guilt. We need to feel remorse. Like, those are the things that change behavior, even within my own life, right? Like, I've made mistakes that I've been like, ooh, that didn't feel good. I don't want to keep doing that. I don't want to treat people like that. And the difference between shame and guilt, and sometimes people are like, but I don't want to feel guilt. I don't want to sit in the discomfort of this.
Tough noogies.
And it's like sitting in the discomfort of it. And I talked about it in my TED talk about, I feel like my whole life has been a difficult conversation, so I can have a difficult conversation, but sitting in the discomfort of it is what makes us go, do I want to keep doing that? And like shame is more of like, let's hide that. Guilt is more like, ooh, okay, let's bring that out in the open. Let's look at that. Let's decide. Let's evaluate if that's working, if I want to keep doing that. Because otherwise, you're just going to keep repeating the cycle. And
And
like,
participating
I'm
in,
participating.
I lead with curiosity and education, not judgment. I used to rage out at somebody. I got into white savior vibe. And now I'm like, ooh, help me understand where you learned that. What's that experience? And to your point about allowing yourself to feel the guilt, that's where I come from with everything happens for a reason or for us. And we have beautiful free will to decide what to do when that comes back into our. So it's, I feel that we all have a soul blueprint, and we came here to feel that soul blueprint as a human, and we get to choose whether we follow that or not, or what we take in and what we don't take in. It's like a both for me. Everything happens for a reason, and you always get a choice.
Yeah, I mean, you absolutely always have a choice, and it's a both and. I mean, it's kind of tying it back to my TED talk. It even got labeled, it's about both and, because so often it's pick a box, pick a lane, pick one thing, and like we are multitudes, we are complex, we are multidimensional. Like, there's a lot going on with us and for us. And to try to fit it all in the simplicity or just in a box just doesn't it doesn't serve us for that highest good, to whatever feels aligned for the highest good.
Whatever that is. And I think that's why sometimes people shy away from spirituality or going back inward or understanding, because it is, as a human, when you try to understand that there are actual, there's a multiverse, there are multiple dimensions, there are parallel realities, there are, when you try as a human to understand, your mind's blown. We're not meant to understand it. So there's a lot of surrender. Something will unfold in my daily life that is from a parallel reality, and I'm like, huh, that was cool.
Yeah, I was recently in another podcast, and we were talking about Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. And of course, the work that I do working in archetypes, which there's a lot of different ways that archetypes show up, and stories being one of them. And Stories help us build characters to create personas. And these are things that we're consistently doing. And archetypes help us understand what are the universal truths around that character. So, for example, you say the word hero, generally people know what you mean. And they can just kind of feel like, oh, this is what a hero feels like. Oh, this is what a villain feels like. A sage, that's another archetype, or the lover archetype. And to kind of get into the woo, astrology is another place that we use a lot of archetypes and zodiacs. And so just kind of understanding those characteristics help us understand ourselves. But then we were talking about all the different ways. They're like, but what about the pilgrimage journey? Or what about, and for me, I align and appreciate the heroine's journey, which is a little different, but still similar. And I was like, you know what? It's all about the journey. The point is that you are exploring who you are, where you come from, where you want to go. You're being introspective to yourself, and you're willing to evolve. And even if you're not willing to evolve, it's okay. Like, I think that those journeys help us reflect and refine, no matter what we call them.
And it's not up to anybody else. Like, there are people in this space and time that are meant to stay and only they're human and not consider that there is anything beyond them. And that could be actually a catalyst for someone else to remember who they are. I spent 20 years in corporate America and pivoted out to coach healer. Because I was always those. Actually, I was masquerading as a corporate executive, but like I was always a coach and healer. I come from a long line of shamans from Scotland. And so I have this cool 20 years of business acumen in the 3D, but I also understand the infinite wisdom in my bones and DNA from when you talk about ancestry as those healers, those shamans. Who were your ancestors before colonialism? Maybe that's a fun combo to have.
Oh yeah, I mean
It's like
that's a
when they were living their
definitely
best lives.
deep, deep question. Yes. And I mean, I like to remind myself that trauma was not the only thing our ancestors passed on to us, no matter where in the world, right? And
Same.
so
Sometimes I'm like, why do I have this in me? And then my shaman reminds me, they're like, hey, it was good stuff too. I'm like, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
there's no, you're right. There's good stuff. And it kind of goes back to that cycle breaking. Like, you get to decide. And just because something was handed to you doesn't mean that you have to take it. Doesn't mean you have to say, yeah, I'm going to keep doing that. But I also think that that's also where community and guides and coaches, all of those things are really helpful, because I think sometimes it can feel really lonely. There's a term out there called you're the black sheep of your family, because maybe you're the one who's doing it differently. And maybe instead of the black sheep, I like to sometimes say, there's a quote that I really like that was like, maybe instead of the black sheep, you're the magical unicorn. And like, magical unicorn of your family, you're the one that is shifting everything from your lineage, from like 7 generations on for the next 7 generations. And you're like a fucking rainbow, and you don't feel like you fit in. And that's okay, because you weren't meant to. If you fit in, it's like at the end of my TEDx, where it was like, if you feel like you don't fit in the box, it's because you were meant to fit in the box. You are beyond the box.
I have this meme in my rotation on LinkedIn, and it's this box bursting open with stars and glitter, and the message is, you don't fit in the box. Woo! Congratulations. That's amazing. And you're here to fuck shit up, and that's awesome. And it doesn't always have to look so the fucking shit up right now doesn't necessarily, it's not from a place, I feel, of physicality or more war or more hatred. It's actually the fucking shit up is standing so 10 toes down in your light, in your unique brilliance and magic that reverberates out into the collective. That's the way we're fucking shit up.
I vibe with that. I vibe with that. Yeah, I mean, kind of going back to like, you don't fit in the box. I've lately been telling a lot of my clients, I'm like, you're not a basic bitch. Stop trying to be a basic bitch.
I
Like,
love that. I love
right?
that.
Like,
Like, what's making you feel small today?
yes. Yeah, what's making you feel small and really asking yourself, where did this come from? Is this my voice? Is
Mine.
this someone else's voice? Like, what is that script? I mean, my coaching, a lot of the methodologies I talk about or guiding is through something I call main character energy. And I take it as a space of like, you are the main character of your story, but also you're the fucking author. And there's a term that I really love called Sonder, which talks about essentially you're a main character, but so is everybody else around you. It speaks to the stars. Like, we are all a part of this beautiful constellation. We're all radiating and vibing at our own levels. And if we all were the same, the night sky would not be as brilliant as it is. And so, like you said, it's about what is your radiance? What is your brilliance? Like, stand in that, be that, instead of trying to be somebody else. And that's where kind of the magnetism, the opportunities you seek, all of those things will start to flow to you, because then what's looking for you can find you, I think,
Yeah.
is a way to think about it.
I'm a lighthouse. And so when I'm shining my light out, I'm helping those ships find me. And part of shining that light or extending my bat signal, if you will, is being out on the platforms that when you talk about silencing is interesting because I have all these followers, but there might be 100 people that see my message, but I trust that that was the 100 that was meant to, and I'm fine with that. It's fine.
That part is
How, Victoria, how are you feeling silent? Like, because you clued me in on something before we hit record.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel that there's this thing happening out here where it's keeping specifically women from getting the bag, whether it's inside the workplace or outside the work, like out here in the wild. It just feels like there's this movement to try to keep women from earning.
First off, social media feels like the Wild West, and I've been saying that for years. And that's where the marketing bandita, like the persona that I created, came from, because I feel like as somebody who is an expert in this field, I'm consistently like teaching people how to like break the rules on there. So it's not as much about virality. It's more about alignment, like you talked about. Like, okay, so only 100 people saw your post, but those 100 people, out of those, probably 20 of them are going to be your people. And I've had acquaintances and people that I know who like had like one person I know had like an audience of 500,000 people, couldn't sell out a single retreat. I've seen people with an audience of 3,000 sell out multiple retreats. So it is not about the size of your audience, it's about the alignment of your audience.
And your voice in which you bring that energy that you bring within the message or that post, that's the vibe. We can actually tell when you're forcing yourself to,
And your authenticity in that. So, your voice, your authenticity, like who you are. To your point, I feel like social media, and I've seen this time and time again, rewards more of the vanity of it over the authenticity. And your audience is who's going to connect with the authenticity. And so, there is a thing going on. There's a lot of suppression. There's a lot of like algorithmic changes. And the thing is it's this constant reminder that we are renting space, as you said. Social media is the movie trailer. That's what I tell people all the time of your brand. It is the movie trailer. It is not the box office. You are the box office. Create your box office. It is just the movie trailer. It is just a sign. It just says, hey, come check out what I'm doing over here, and build your system outside of that system, because at any point they can say, hey, we want to take away this thing. But at the end of the day, like, part of becoming an entrepreneur or a founder is to get a sense of sovereignty. Part of why we go on these healing journeys is to have a sense of sovereignty, to be able to have autonomy and say, I choose me, I'm making my own decisions. And I think that it's tough, right? When you have that. But to your point of stories, one of the activities that I have some of my clients do is go back through your testimonials and look about what people are saying. Because in there, you might actually find a hint or a direction, especially if you're not sure. So I do a lot of what my clients have called is confidence coaching. Like when somebody was like, "Oh no, confidence is something you help people with." I was like, "Really? I don't feel super confident. That's not something I would say about myself." But then when I went back through the testimonials, and that was the word that kept showing up. So then when I started leading with that in my brand and being like main character energy, it really resonated deeper with people because a lot of times people can sometimes see us before we see ourselves because we are so used to suppressing, silencing, and hiding parts of ourselves for safety. And especially if we're powerful women, especially if we're strong, because once again, we've been given this narrative, this bullshit narrative that you can be loved or you can be powerful. And 9 times out of 10, we're choosing loved. So we're suppressing our own power. In those testimonials is your power, is the things that people see in you that make you strong, that make you skilled, and make you you. And so that's kind of why it's like, oh, well, fuck you. Like, but
Build
reminders, we get to write our own narratives. Build your own
your
system.
systems, build your ecosystem. Just make sure you have a way to claim your power. And you talk about loved or power. So for me, what that brings up is I'm certified in chakras, and not that I have to be, but I felt I needed to have that certification, which is part of my corporate wound. I digress. So heart chakra is love or be loved. Love and to be loved. Visiting just south of that is your solar plexus, which is the will or the power, something that powers your 3D existence. They get to work together. So what you're saying, this narrative that we've been taught or this script, this is your invitation to go back into your heart and your solar plexus to see how they can work together, that you can have love and power.
Yep.
It's a both.
It's a both and, like, absolutely. And like power, I think of it not necessarily in the space of power over
No, no,
people.
no, 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 no.
And no, you're right, but
No, no, no,
it's that it's a sovereignty, it's that ownership, it's that it's knowing my worth. I used to be surprised when people would tell me that I was really smart because I was so used to suppressing that because of where I grew up. It was kind of like, you can't be pretty and smart. Like, we don't do that here. Like, pick one. And society and narratives, and I wanted to be liked, right? Like, people pleasing. And so I was like, oh, I'll just be pretty and play dumb. And so for me, stepping into that power is like being like, oh no, when I say words like brilliant, I'm like, I'm also speaking to like, I'm intelligent. I'm a very intelligent person, and not trying to downplay that and not be like, I'm the smartest person in the room, because sometimes I'm not. And actually, that's a good thing because I don't want to know all the things. That's a like that's hard on your back. So it's just, I think that I really feel like when we know our own power, our own worth, our own strengths and values, especially outside of monetary, we really can connect to something that does feel really sovereign and really freeing.
So, Victoria, as we start to wind down, for those that may not be in tune with astrological or don't vibe with it, there's actually been like a big cosmic shift, particularly this year in this really big time of systemic change that kind of kicked off in March. And we may not realize it, but like all of our DNA at the cellular level is changing, and we're walking into a new age, a new paradigm. What would you share with someone that's like, what the hell's going on? Why do I feel different? Why does anything that felt good, even like 3 months ago, no longer? And I feel lost or stuck, or like, what the hell is happening? What the actual fuck's happening right now? And knowing that it's not a quick answer or a quick fix in a time and space where we're used to quick fixes, that it's a journey, that it's a pathway. What would you share with someone that is starting to feel that severe pinch or ache? And it's like, holy hell. What would you share as the first thing they could start to feel into or could do for themselves by any degree to maybe give a digestible tidbit so that they could start maybe pulling the threads for themselves or start feeling into what's happening?
Yeah, the seasons remind us how beautiful shifts can be. Fall reminds us how beautiful things can be before the release, and that what would those trees be if they held onto those leaves? And then I sometimes I like to walk through visualizations of like, okay, so this tree now has these dead, decaying leaves that aren't providing any nutrients to them anymore. How silly would that be to like kind of hang on to that and hold that? And then where are the new leaves going to form if the old leaves are there? And so if you are like, what the fuck is happening? Everything is overwhelming and I don't know what to do next. Take a deep breath and realize you're not alone. We're all kind of in it. Like I've been going through my own personal, like some things on not in Victoria's 2025 bingo card. But what has gotten me through is remembering that, is remembering the leaves release and fall to create space for what is new in the spring. And you are just in a season of release.
Yeah, and I like that you're saying that we're all in this together. Find your okayness or your peace on any degree every single day. And it doesn't mean that you're not acutely aware of what is all unfolding out in the world, but you have that free will to choose a moment of safety or peace, again, by any degree every single day. So put down your screens, touch some grass. Light a candle. Like, what is something that just helps you feel by any degree okay? Find your okayness. So, Victoria, how can we find you and how can we support your work? Where can we find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn, Victoria Carrington Chavez. You can also find me on, I have a Substack called The Story Saloon. You can find me there. I also have a website, lilacaspen.com. And I'm also hanging out on Instagram sometimes these days. I mean, I have a lot of feelings about that, but like, those are some of the places like I hang out. And then there's a good old fashioned, you can email me, victoria@lilacaspen.com.
I'm gonna start writing letters again, maybe. No, I'm not gonna do that.
I mean, I'm close. I do actually send quite a bit of snail mail. I have found, and this is like, if you've made it to the end, I will give you this marketing tidbit that honestly, they said that people that receive handwritten notes from people that they work with are 15 times more likely to continue to refer and buy from you, which tells you the importance in a very digital age of taking the time to slow down and connect to those good old-fashioned, like tactile pen and paper things.
I agree. I send all of my clients a curated over our time together. I'm leveraging my intuition and my abilities to put together like curated gift box for them.
That. 10 points, 10 points.
There's always going to be some sort of fun witchy tool in there as well. And so they're like, interesting, if they're not quite there yet. Closing remarks as we wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, first off, thank you so much, Amy, for having me. I love that. Like, we're like, do you know Victoria? And then the woo. But I think that what I really appreciate is your honesty, your authenticity, and your willingness to continue to speak out and amplify voices. That's really powerful. It's very clear you are rewriting your story and you're rewriting it your own way. And you're entering in, I really feel it. You're entering in your don't give a fuck era. Like you're already there. Like you're like nine and a half toes in. And hopefully I can help you get past the other like half, but like listen, we doing things with our whole ass these days. Anyway, that's that.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.